You should have two handouts. One is recognizing the roles, number lesson 13, rite of passage, and then you should have lesson 14. It doesn't flip very long, but there's some really good stuff in this last lesson. It's called Building Hedges and a Summary. So what I want to do is the rite of passage. We looked at the rite of passage for a guy last week, and we went through it fairly quickly, and I thought y'all have a lot of input, and you didn't have any input. So I'm just going on fast. Today we're going to look at the rite of passage for a daughter, and we'll just touch on that. And when we get through that, we'll start 14, unless you have a lot more input than you had last week, okay? So let's start with a prayer, and then we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, thanks for a great morning. Thank you for our class. I just love our class. We thank you that we get to come together. We get to study. We get to look at the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for the study that we've seen over these weeks about the family, about husbands and wives and parents and children and premarital information and all of these different things and the battle that goes on in a culture in which it's a fallen world and all of these things. So, Lord, we just pray that as we know Jesus Christ as Savior and we've been raised up and seated in heavenly places, that we will live and have our families based on the Word of God. And so, Lord, as we think about rite of passage, in other words, Lord, as we think about things that we do at certain times in our kids' lives to help them go on to maturity and think about the truths of life, that you would help us even now as we think through those things to just help us to think of things that we can do that might encourage our children. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. And we realize that eternal life is in Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. In him is life. And whenever we believe in him, he gives to us eternal life. And we thank you for that. Lord, help us now as we study. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we just put down Psalm 127 was a place that you could open your Bibles if you wanted to, because it talked about our children. But if you remember, and I don't know, we've got rite of passage daughter. What you want to just, I know that's where we started. If you want to flip back just a few slides to rite of passage son, just flip back the other way. Yeah. We just said that the rite of passage for son, and we said that there were like five sort of big times we thought about, and we came up with some things. Like the first one was, go ahead and go to the first one, like puberty. And at puberty, we talked about maybe getting them a special ring or something to say you're becoming a, you know, you're developing, you're fixing to be a man, you got to identify with daddy, you got to see what is a man like. And we talked about that. And then the second one was maybe getting a driver's license, which is really not only just a big deal, but it's a dangerous deal, because driving a car is pretty dangerous. Besides, you know, it gives you more freedom. And we talked about that. Maybe a special trip with dad or something. Then the third thing was graduating from high school. And that is a big deal there. And we talked about maybe giving them a Bible. One thing our church does is our high school seniors, when they graduate from our youth group and everything and get ready to go off to college, we as a church give everybody a Bible with their name on it and things like that. I think it's a great thing. Maybe as a family, you might do that. You might do something different. The fourth big area that we talked about was graduation from college. And once again, this is where a person, in a sense, is becoming their own family, their own self, their own person. But graduating from college, we put down, I think, a special weekend event or something at graduation, something to say, you know, you've stepped out, you're getting a job, you're going on with your life, you're maturing, you're growing up. And then the last one we just talked about was the marriage. And that is a big deal. We put down for the guy maybe a special time with before the wedding with his groomsmen, a prayer, encouragement. And it could, a lot of times things like that are the night before. Where our group, where some people say bachelor party, our group says not bachelor party in the sense like a party, but maybe a time in which the guys all get together and they encourage him as he gets ready to get married. So that's what we talked about last week. Now we looked at the rite of passage for a daughter. And some of those, I had the same things. By the way, someone came up to me and I can't even remember who it was. My mind is completely blank. But they said that here's something that they didn't bring up in here. But if you know when your child trusts Christ. Now, some don't know. You know, if you ask me about both my girls, they were 6 years old when each one of them trusted Christ, but I couldn't tell you right now the date. I was older. My date, I can tell you, I trusted Christ on February 13th, 1969. That's when I trusted Christ. I was in college. It followed a Bible study, and that's when I trusted Christ. A lot of people who grew up in the church, they can't remember when they trusted Christ. But this person I talked to said that when one of their child trusted Christ, they had a party. They had like a birthday party. They had a big party. They invited everybody to say they trusted in Christ as Savior. And then every year, they had a party on their their what they call their spiritual birthday. And that's not a bad idea to help you remember. One of the things, I forget mine. It'll be like February 14th, and I go, gosh, yesterday was the day, you know, was my spiritual birthday. I forget it a lot. I don't know why. I don't forget my other birthday very much, but I do forget that one a lot. But anyway, so that's some things to think about. As we go through these, once again, I'm going to focus on the same events. Does anybody else have another event or another thing that we could put down? Because that's what, as we go through this, if you've got something that maybe you did with your children, even at a different time than what we're talking about, let me know. We'll put it in here, okay? For the daughter, we talked about puberty there. And, of course, that's the idea of getting with mom. Let's see. Yeah, it's especially in a unique time. Mom's got to be very sensitive. Daughter's changing physically and emotionally. Sometimes I think we put down maybe a ring or a time. I think go ahead and put the next thing. Maybe a purity ring or a time with mom in which she's just with mom talking about the changes that are happening and how to relate to all this. Maybe a special ring, beginning her journey as a godly woman. I mean, that's a thought through all of that. I don't know what y'all might have done something different with your daughters. Sarah, we just got you a ring at a certain time, didn't you? About how old were you? When you were 13, so we did that. We did something good. Yeah. Here, turn around. Okay, so we got that. I mean, that kind of marks off. Here is you starting this journey. Then I think with driver's license, in our family at driver's license they wanted a car. Okay, but bottom line at driver's license, once again, I think people need to realize how serious it is that. That there's the laws and the authority and there is freedom that they have that they never have any other time, you know, up to that point in time. And we talked about, once again, maybe a special time with mom and maybe a special shopping trip or something, thinking, okay, you got your driver's license, you get to drive, but, you know, you got to realize how important this is and you got to spend time with mom because this is a big moment in your life. The third one, once again, is graduation from high school. And once again, I put down because it's maybe a special night to celebrate the achievements, begin with much more freedom, maybe going off to college or working, realize that she is to live according to the values that she's been given and taught in the Bible. And then I put down maybe a Bible to remember this time. And once again, since our church gives a Bible to our high school seniors, you may say, well, they're going to get a Bible from the church. Maybe there's something else you can think of that we'd give our children at that time to say, this is a special moment in your life. You want to represent Jesus Christ in everything, especially as you get ready to go off to college. Once again, I told y'all this. I'm amazed at, and by the grace of God, we've had a lot of college kids come to our church over the years, and I'm always amazed to see them coming. And really, the truth is, nobody's making them come. I mean, almost all of them are off from their families, off at college. And nobody says you need to get up and come to church, or nobody says you should do this. And yet, so many of them do that, and it's so exciting to watch them come in that door. So, you know, maybe at graduation from high school, say, you know, you're fixing to go off to college. This is going to be a big time. You're going to have more freedom than you've ever had, and you're going to have to live according to the principles that you've been taught. Because when you get away from your family, that's when there are all kind of things out there. We all know that. You know, it's according to who you get in with. You know, one of the things we ought to be praying, especially if our kids go off somewhere, is who are they going to connect with? Because, you know, you can connect with the wrong people, and that doesn't help you a bit. The fourth one that I had was just graduate from college, same thing as we had for the guy. And once again, we put maybe a special weekend with family, maybe the first apartment or first place they're going to live separately out from college. You know, just something to mark off that this is something special. You know, when you look in the Bible, the daughters, it was a little bit unique. The daughter was under the authority of her daddy until she was married. There wasn't like, I'm 18 and I move out and start get my own little pad and start my own little job. That wasn't a concept at all. She was under the authority of her dad, lived at home until she was married. And when she was married, she became under the authority of her husband. And remember, you know this, when she got married, she went to live with her husband, but most likely her husband lived with his dad. his family. They stayed in that family unit. That's why that whole idea of the guy saying, I go to, you know, he comes in to the one he's betrothed to, and he actually tells her he's going to go fix a place at his father's house so that when they get married, they can live there. And that's why when Jesus said, you know, my father's house has many rooms, if it wasn't that way, I told you, I go to prepare a place for you. When I get ready, I'll come back and get you. Jesus is actually saying, I'm marrying you. He's marrying us, and he's got a place up. The father's house is getting fixed for us, and he's going to come get us and take us to be with him. That's what the whole picture is of John, you know, John 14 there. So, you know, graduation from college is a special time. And then last but not least, of course, is the wedding aspect. And I put down on for the women, for the girls on this one, is maybe a time with the bridesmaids, mom, a party, something unique and special in which you meet and you talk about friendships and values and looking forward to a new life. And so what about input? Anybody got any input or anything that you want to throw out here, just as what maybe things you did or think about doing or maybe some other times? Yeah, Sharon. Okay, so Joe White has, when girls are about 13, they give them a penny that's minted penny that's never been touched. It's wrapped, it's put in a box, and they give it to the girls and say that this is pure, in a sense, purity and everything, and this is what you give to your husband. Yeah, right, that's pretty neat. That's a neat thing there. That's sort of like a purity ring also, too. You know, say this is the ring, and this represents this, and that kind of thing. What else? Can you think of anything else or anything? Anybody want to add anything else?
Stages with just me, mm-hmm. because their father was deceased. Mm-hmm. So the best thing I could do in reference to trying to tie a son to what a father would think and so forth was to have them go back in their lives and remember, what did Daddy say about this or that or the other, which may have been at an elementary level at that point, mm-hmm. but the fundamental basis of it was still applicable even as a growing young teenager or as an adult, and that has worked very well.
So without, even my dad wasn't there, you could say, what would Dad say about this, or what did Dad say about this? Yeah.
When they wanted to do something that was, I was a little concerned about it, but really no one to turn to say, what do you think? And I might point this out. Those of you who have a husband to share your life with you, it is such a blessing, because once you are alone, it's not that you just miss this person physically, emotionally, but every decision is yours, every decision. Whether it's the kids should go do this or do that or buy more insurance or sell the house or get a new car, whatever it is. So the only thing we had to turn to were the past experiences and bring them forth with what Daddy would think about this. And they had enough experiences with him as little kids that they could pull on that for some guidance in the future.
Well, that's really powerful. I mean, that's good, and it's good that they had that so that you could go back and say that. Plus, even if they hadn't had that, you might say, wonder what Dad would say about this, because I'll tell you what he was like and what he would have said. So, powerful stuff. What else? Anything else? Well, when we think about rite of passage, let me just give you some applications from this lesson, and then we might get into the other lesson. But first of all, realize the huge influence both parents have in their relationships with their children, both same sex and opposite sex. We just talked about that. I didn't go over it again this morning, but just remember there's a really value if you have, you know, when you have a mom and a daddy and you get to stay together and you fulfill your roles, it influences your children, same sex and opposite sex, from you in a very powerful way. And so we spend a lot of time on that. So just realize the huge influence. And if you're a single mom or maybe a single dad, there, you know, anything we as a local church, we must be there to help. We've got to be there. Think about a single mom with a son and really no dad in the family. Well, there's a lot of dads in this room, a lot of guys who can say, I'll be there. I'll take them fishing. I'll do this. I'll do this. And vice versa, possibly if it's a single dad and a little daughter. And, you know, he's saying, I don't even know what to do about these kind of dresses, you know, and maybe somebody can help. So that's what we need to do. The second one is develop rite of passage for your children. You know, figure out some things that are special for you and your children that might be powerful. And I think everybody has their own things. Gene, can you help me remember what the Noakes, when did they do their thing? Do you remember when they did that? There was something that Phil and Teresa Noakes, we got invited to a deal when their children, and I cannot remember, and Gene and I can't remember whether it's when they turned 16 or when they graduated from high school, but they had a special event at their house, which I thought was incredible. And the kids got to bring friends, but they also brought people who had significant events in their children's lives, and they had a party. And but what did they do? They set the child, you know, the person down, and people talked about them, saying, you know, we're proud of you, and you did this, and you're a person of the. I mean, it was just an incredible time, and I can't remember whether it was high school graduation or just turning 16, or it wasn't written driver's license. I can remember that. It may have been 18 years old, you know, basically saying, you're growing up. And I would tie that one in probably to high school graduation or something. But they did a great job on that. And, of course, they moved away. They were in our church, and I think they moved down to Lawton. But I remember, I went to both of them. We went to both of them. Huh? Is it Ardmore? Oh, okay. But we went to at least their two youngest of the kids. We were there for both of those, and it was pretty impressive. Pick special times for your kids. Okay, anything? How about lesson 14? Let's go to lesson 14, and we'll see how far we can get on this. We've still got about 8 minutes, so we'll get some of this. This one is called Building Hedges. In other words, protecting your marriage. Protecting your marriage. I've got this right here. You can... We finished our study of what we're calling recognizing the roles. We've seen a lot of things. We've seen the subject of marriage and relationships include the role of husband and wife and parents and children. We close out this study. We want to think about, and I've got it here, we want to think about building hedges around our marriages and families. Now, when we say hedges, a lot of times people talk about a hedge and they've got these bushes. That's kind of blocks the way, keeps things out, keeps things in, so to speak. A hedge around your marriage is the idea that you're going to protect your marriage, you're going to protect your children, you're going to protect your relationship with husband and wife. And we know that marriage and family and roles of husband and wife and children, they're all important, especially to us who know Jesus Christ as Savior. Our goal is to live according to the Scripture, and that's why it's so vital. We have to know what the Bible teaches about all these different things. And I love this study. I'm going to change it around because the lessons that were like 11 and 12 will actually be 3 and 4, so I'll change the titles and move things around. And this study, I think, is a lot of fun, and I think it can help us. We stated that the first divine institution is not the government, not the church, but the family. And over these weeks, we've seen a lot of things. So we want to end in this lesson with two things. How can we protect our marriages and families? That's the hedges. And just a brief overview of the key areas that we've seen. So I don't know how far we'll get, but I want you to think about some things, and then we'll get into it. You know, our culture's changed so much. We were watching a movie last night. Was it what movie was it? Was it My Girl? And they were the 70s, 60s and 70s. And all the clothes everybody wore and everything. And you think, man, everything's changed so much in the last 50 years. If you go back to the 60s and 70s, and I was fairly young in the 60s and 70s. You think about family, divorce. The divorce rate was so small. Well, some of the issues we had were, are we going to make it to the moon? And what about the Soviets? Are they going to drop bombs on us? Let me tell you, I have to say this, that if you would have told me that one day there would be no Soviet Union and one day there would be no Berlin Wall, I would have said, I don't think you know what you're talking about. That'll always be there. And they're gone. If you told me there would be no elephant pants, right? Bell bottoms, platform shoes. Things happened when they moved into the 70s. Along came the hippies. See, beatniks were 50s and 60s, but then the hippies came. Free love. Rejection of authority. That's what happened, wasn't it? Rejection of authority in the 60s and 70s. Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, if you can't be with the one you love, do what? Love the one you're with. See, that's real good, isn't it? And we just sing it up a storm, not even thinking about the words. No fault divorce changed everything. Our world began to change the values. The Christian worldview began to be eroded and replaced. Think about this. Divorce skyrocketed. Living together came together. Became fashionable. Homosexuality. Even, the next one says, even redefining of the family. That we've seen this in the last 50 years, right? What's happened to us? How in the world do those of us who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, who seek to live for Jesus Christ, who seek to live for the glory of God, and to live by the Word of God, how are we going to make it? I mean, think about this. We realize that the foundational institute of the world is the family. We got everybody wanting to redefine the family and eliminate the foundational institution of the whole world. What's going to happen when the whole world cancels out the family? Think about it. And, you know, who knows? Husband, wife, parents, children, the key to the family is how do we live our lives based on the Word of God? In his last lesson, what I just wanted to think about, the final area is building hedges around your marriage. Okay? And let's start with this definition. What's a hedge? In this study, a hedge is a marriage protecting set of boundaries. That's what it really is. A marriage protecting set of boundaries. Things that we do, things that we say, this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to do this, to protect ourselves. And as we think about building hedges, there's really three big areas I wanted us to talk about. I want to talk about commitment, relationship, and actions. Now, commitment's going to be, we'll talk about that first, and we're probably going to run out of time because we got like 2 minutes. We'll talk about commitment, but when you get into relationships, I'm going to say this, and I'll clarify it, but I'm going to say you do not need to have a relationship with someone of the opposite sex after you're married. And I'll explain what I mean by a relationship. But you can't do this. We'll talk about relationships. We'll talk about warning signs. We'll talk about some of those things. Then when we get to actions, we're actually going to talk about what are some things you can do to protect your marriage and yourself. And let me just say this. The very first one is admit that you're capable of anything. Because a lot of people don't want to admit that. A lot of people want to say, I would never do this or I'd never do this. Take heed lest you think you stand what? You fall. We're capable of every and any sin. And if we think we're not, if you think you wouldn't do certain things, all you have to do, and let me just say this. Some things you say, I'd never do that, you won't do it today. But you just do a few things, and before you know it, you are there. See, it's not usually like one day, I'm going to do this. It's I do this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. Huh? And it comes, boom. So take heed lest you think you stand, you fall, because you're capable of any sin, and I'm capable of any sin. We can do anything. Just put us in the wrong place at the wrong time. What will we do? Wrong place, wrong time, wrong thing. So we'll talk about that. I think time's like, here's what we'll do. We'll start with commitment next time, and we'll get through these things. I think we can probably, unless we have a lot of discussion next week, we can probably finish our study. But I want you to think about that because it's so vital. Now, it doesn't matter where you are. You've got to have these things. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether you're single or married, but we're talking about a whole marriage and family, but we got to do that. Let me pray. Is any bell rung at all? Or do we have a bell ringer? Does anything ring a bell? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you, Lord, for the study. And Lord, especially this last part, where we think about protection. We think about our commitment to you and to the one we're married to. We think about different relationships that we have in our lives. And how we can be warned. And Lord, we think about even the actions that we can take to protect ourselves, our families, and our children. Lord, we love you more than we live. We love you with an everlasting love because you love us with an everlasting love. Thank you for what you do for us. Thank you for how you've taken care of us. Thank you for establishing the family and the mama and the daddy and the husband and the wife and the parents and the children and all these different things that go together. Lord, all we want to do is live our lives based on the Word of God so that we can make an impact for you and have an impact in our culture so that others may know Jesus Christ as Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.